Hello, and happy almost New Year. I have my drinky here, white wine, in the sub-zero freezing temperatures of the Northern California mountains of snowy goodness. I'm not sure if I made the right choice. I probably should be drinking a hot toddy. But I am joined by Kiss Pig and Glitch and our special guest this evening, the King of Hearts. And I just want to start out with a little bit of Clubhouse news. In case you were unaware, our player lookups are now active. And anyone who signed up with us before the 23rd of this month has a free lookup waiting for them. They've got a credit on our system, so you can just log in and use your free lookup. But check out sealsclubhouse.com, register your account, check your stats for free. And we just want to let you know that it's you purchasing lookups or making donations that keeps the clubhouse flush with chips for all the seals, fish, whales, and sharks, and the oil vat filled for the fish fry tournaments, and of course the staff lubricated for the fish fry radio shows. So the more you share, the looser we get, and I just want to encourage everyone to donate or purchase your lookups today. Tonight, of course, register for the fish fry tournament starting in a half hour. And once again, there are bounties on any clubhouse staff playing tonight. And there is also a bounty on our guest, the King of Hearts, just because we think that's a sporting thing to do. So all bounties, of course, will be paid out after the tourney's done. And Lucky Ant will be handling that for us this evening. So when the tourney's done, he'll pay out all the bounties, so nobody panic.
Well, right now, I just want to interject real quick. In some parts of the world, it is now 2016. So happy 2016.
Oh, yay.
The chat
That's
is,
awesome.
The chat is flooded with happy 2016. So.
Ooh, so many people from around the globe sitting there in SWC chat. That's that warms my heart.
Right now in Australia, it's they're having the they're doing what we're going to be doing tomorrow.
So of course, say hi, Kiss a Pig. Say hi to everybody. Say hi. Okay.
Hello.
Are you
actually,
do you have your favorite?
Is it 2016 anywhere yet? I don't know, but they're saying it.
2016 in you know, the time zone over there somewhere.
Australia is a good 16 or 17 hours ahead of certain parts of the United States. But I guess it's not quite Happy New Year there yet. All right, trollololo. The chat was flooded with happy 2016s. I had to mention it. There were no less than 30 of them. So.
Okay.
We might as well say Happy New Year since we're not going to see you again until next year.
Right.
It's true.
Happy New Year.
So I'd like to go ahead and get on our guest this evening, King of Hearts. He is. He has been writing weekly columns on the SWCPoker.eu website. You can find him on the homepage there. I've been enjoying watching his newness discover the joys of online poker through his writing. So let's say hi to King of Hearts.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Cool.
Hello.
So now this is, your column is called Confessions of a Poker Husband. I'm sort of curious about your inspiration to do the column, and maybe you could give us, or people who don't know, maybe an idea of what you're trying to accomplish with the writing.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. What I found, I'm a new poker player, relatively new poker player, certainly new to the online world. And what I've, like a lot of people, I suppose, I played some cards in college, and I've played the odd tournament here and there, just socially, but not anything really intense. And so I've been really paying attention to the whole Bitcoin thing exploding over the last couple of years, and online poker in the United States, coming back with that. So that got me really interested in the online gaming space. And what I found when I started trying to do more research was there seems to be a pretty big split between I'm just getting started here and I'm trying to learn the ropes and kind of get a feel for the environment and what's expected and how things play out and the little nuances of the online space in particular. And I found that the advice, the other columns, the writing that's out there is usually from such a high level that it's even the articles that are ostensibly for beginners, I found to be very full of jargon that I didn't know and shorthand that, you know, is obviously very common among players. But from a new player's perspective, I found it very difficult to kind of navigate those spaces. So
like kind of intimidating, like, wow, I understand some of those words.
yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you're reading a manual for a machine that you've never seen before and you don't know how it works. And three or four of the words out of each sentence, you're not quite lining up with. So I don't know, it just seemed like there was a real opportunity for this kind of perspective exploration of it. And I thought, since I was going through it myself, and since I have some writing in my background, I thought it might be helpful to other people in kind of a similar place. So that gave me the idea for the column. I approached SWC Poker with the idea. They thought it was a good idea as well. And so I've been keeping up with, we try to drop the column, Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Is when it comes out every week, and we've been real consistent with that so far and made all the deadlines, it's been really fun.
So in your starting out at SWC Poker, and this is sort of your first online poker experience, because it's not like you were doing anything like a lot of us were playing pre-Black Friday online, and then when it was gone, you know, that's sort of how we discovered it. But what are your first impressions of playing on the site? Like, you know, what kinds of games are you playing so far?
It's been really interesting. I've been staying primarily where my comfort zone is with No Limit Hold'em. Mm-hmm. That's just where I've had the most experience, probably pretty typical. But I've been really excited to see all the different kinds of gameplay. It's fascinating what a very small change in how the game is implemented can have such a dramatic impact on overall game strategy and how things play out at the table.
Totally.
It's been real educational. I haven't been getting my feet wet too much in too many of those other game spaces yet, but I've been observing quite a bit. And it's just really fascinating how such a small, seemingly small change can have such a big impact. I just started, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I'm going to do a column on open-faced Chinese because I'm starting to learn that.
Oh my God, it's my favorite.
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know. I find it to be very, very challenging because obviously there's a big dynamic to that type of play, and there's so much more information available, I think, to the player with everything being so open. And I don't know. I find it really fascinating. So I've been trying to learn all that I can, and, you know, playing for very small stakes. And
well, you know, I think that's one of the really cool things about the site right now is that, and this is totally a good lesson for me too, because I definitely get stuck in a rut. You know, like last year I switched primarily playing No Limit Hold'em tournaments to playing a whole lot of PLO, high-low. And so now they've got this new game. Everyone is totally ridiculously over the moon about PLO 5 card. And oh my God, I felt like I was just getting the hang of PLO, and now throw in another card and I know nothing. Like I'm in a swamp of not knowing what I'm doing. And the only reason I played it once. I think I played a free roll or something just to scope it out. But I haven't really played it because it scares the crap out of me. But I played it once, and the only hands that I won, I like had to use the replayer in the client to like actually figure out, wait, why did I just win that hand? Because I honestly didn't know, you know?
Oh,
like,
I know. Oh. I've had a similar experience. It was just amazing to me, the difference between, like, in the open-faced Chinese, between, like, the king-king version and, like, ace-ace or queen-queen. I mean, you'd think that wouldn't be such a big deal, but it really dramatically affects the gameplay.
Yeah, it's huge. So, well... Gosh, welcome to the site. I'm super stoked that you're writing about things from a beginner perspective. Poker players tend to either be very, people have a lot of ego wrapped up in their poker play, in my experience, and they're either, you know, in chat touting about how I'm the greatest thing that ever was the gift, the gift that came to poker, like the clouds parted and down I came from the clouds as this amazing poker player and everyone else is full of shit. They either fall under that kind of category or they'll be the exact same person saying the next day, wow, I totally suck at poker, or I just got totally owned, you know? So, there's wild swings.
Yeah. Well, that's why those stats are so great, right? Because now you've got an actual metric that you can at least get, some unbiased information.
Well, yeah, and that's great feedback as a player. Like you can find where in your games, like, oh, I do really great at 5-chip tournaments, but I do terrible at 50-chip tournaments. What am I changing about my play? Am I being intimidated by different stakes, you know, I do great at deep stacks, but obviously my regular stacks or my turbo game or whatever is lacking.
When I'm learning something new, anytime you have metrics like that, it's just so valuable. I mean, I live on metrics.
Cool. Well, I hope you're signed up at sealsclubhouse.com.
I am, under the name that I play under, so nobody will know I'm quite as much of a noob as my name would imply.
That's good protection. I consider that just smart anonymity.
Oh, wait. So. If we've got a bounty on you tonight, we need to
know. No, I'll be playing this King of Hearts in the tournament for sure.
Well, I will just warn you, King of Hearts, that people will play differently with you tonight with a bounty on your head. So just be aware that everyone's gunning for you, because that's how we play every week. So now you'll get to know what it's like to have a bounty on your head.
Yeah, you're going to get called a lot.
Not to scare you or anything. I'm just giving you the what.
Any particular advice on dealing with that kind of excited focus?
Just write it out. Play your best game that you can. Write it out. Usually that'll happen the most in the very beginning of the game. You know, it's kind of like I would treat it kind of like a free roll. There's a bunch of like wild and crazy play at the beginning, but then things kind of settle into people who are invested in reaching the end. So, you know, that's what I would say.
Appreciate the pro tip.
Yeah. You're welcome to stay with us while we talk about some other stuff. I'm like, the end of the year for me is always not just reflecting on the past year, but also kind of everyone talks about, you know, New Year's resolutions, which they, you know, break after 2 weeks of their diet in January or what, you know, like everyone has their different rituals they go through, but certainly the end of the year is a good time to kind of look back at cool stuff that's happened and things that we like that are going on. And I just, there was a couple of things I wanted to mention just this past week. Two lovely people died, rest in peace. One of them, Lemmy, the lead singer of Motorhead, passed away this week. And I just wanted to give a shout out there. I don't know, did you guys ever see that British sitcom? It was The Young Ones. It was like the four dudes kind of sharing a flat and they're all completely different. Anyway, I saw a great clip of Motorhead playing on that show. And one of the things they would do is they'd bring on like guests of different, you know, places. Like they'd have musical guests, or it's kind of like a variety show in that they would insert kind of variety show guests into their show every week. And this one I saw a clip of Motorhead there taking over the apartment, and it was all like smashed up, and they were playing Ace of Spades while the show was kind of going on, in that sort of old Benny Hill style, you know, like while the four dudes are doing their thing in between cuts. But man, that guy, he probably, like for that particular song, he probably had played that, I don't know, 20,000 times in his lifetime. But seeing him perform it live on that show he made it just as fresh and just as in your face as anything. And I was just really impressed by that. The other person that passed away this week I wanted to mention was Meadowlark Lemon of the Harlem Globetrotters. And first of all, Meadowlark Lemon, you had the coolest name ever. I don't know if he was actually named that, but I love his name. But one of the coolest things he said was, that life's most meaningless statistic is the halftime score. And as far as I'm concerned, it's always halftime, which I thought was really cool. It's like, you know, just because you're ahead or behind at halftime doesn't mean that there aren't ways that you can, you know, bring it up and still play your best game or whatever. And he was a firm believer in, no matter what you were doing in life, to trust your next shot. And I thought, wow, that's really cool end of the year thinking, you know, like trust what you're doing, trust your next shot, trust your instincts when you're playing that hand and you have that niggling little suspicion that you're beat, fucking fold, you know, like move forward knowing to trust in your next shot. So
it's encouraging. I don't know if it's going to help me with my New Year's resolutions.
Do you have New Year's resolutions this year, Glitch?
I haven't made any yet. I should make some realistic ones so I can actually keep them.
I think that's great. You know, like people make crazy New Year's resolutions that they know that they're going to fail at. Like no reason to set yourself up for failure. Baby steps, do what you can do, you know.
Yeah, that's some powerful words. It's always halftime at SWC Poker.
Nice.
Hot sauce.
What hot sauce? What does he have to say?
Nancy says that I should resolve, or no. Anybody got any good resolutions? Nancy says lose weight. It's not clear who wants to lose weight. Someone definitely should, though. You're probably right about that. I just don't know who.
Well, one of the other things that I just thought was really amazing this year, not just this year, but kind of one of the coolest things to happen maybe in the last 5 years. And that is the SpaceX landing of the first stage of their Falcon 9 rocket this past week.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Oh, it was really amazing. I watched it live on the SpaceX feed, and a lot of it was like sort of irritating because they had a bunch of people commentating and a bunch of crowds being crazy. But it was one of the coolest things I had ever seen. And like to realize the gravity of what they've accomplished. I mean, they have basically launched a rocket out into space, thousands of miles, separated it from the rest of the rocket, turned it around, brought it back, and they landed that fucker.
And they landed it. Yeah. Like it was meant to be. Yeah. They just did.
Yeah.
Like I mean, right in the middle of the logo.
Right in the exact spot they were supposed to land. I mean, like to a pinpoint, they landed that fucker.
Mm-hmm. And I played the video right now as you guys are talking about it, but we got another shot from a helicopter that just really highlights how accurately they landed it. And so yeah, that does mean something.
So spot on.
I mean, NASA never did that shit. Wow.
No, NASA's never done it. SpaceX is the only company on Earth to do that. I mean, I know Blue Origins did their little up and down thing that, you know, and quote unquote made it to just the boundary of space, but that's a kind of a jerk off, if you ask me, because it's for rich tourism. You know, that's not like doing work, getting the things done in space like SpaceX is doing. They're carrying cargo. They're making runs to the space station. Landing a rocket on its tail is a dream that mankind has had. Not forget the United States. That's a dream that mankind has had for more than 100 years. That's appeared in our science fiction. And multiple people have had that. That's been almost a given that we would do that in our future. And we finally did, like, that future is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just gave me chills to watch.
But the implications of that, too, are that here you have something that is now reusable. It's not like throwing a plane away every time you fly it. You have something that's reusable, and that means that we're going to be able to do so many cool things, like bringing the cost of space exploration, that's bringing that down so that you can have, you know, a classroom of students do science experiments for really cheaply. You know, that's all kinds of possibilities get opened up, not just going and colonizing Mars or whatever. Have you guys seen The Martian?
Oh, the movie? Yeah, that was great.
So one of the things that I was thinking of when I watched The Martian, and, you know, SpaceX hadn't done its little landing thing yet, but that's one of the big goals of SpaceX is to get to Mars. Watching that movie, I was like, I think it's natural. Anytime you watch kind of a survivalist type movie, I think it's probably very human to think, oh, okay, if I were in this situation, like, oh, I'm in the wilds of Alaska and I'm fighting the bear, how would I do? Or I was in a plane crash and I had to survive just with the clothes on my back and a couple of, you know, Twinkies or whatever. The thing I thought about was like, how would I do all by myself on a planet like Mars? How do you think you would fare if you were in that situation?
Well, I guess that's like a classic desert island kind of story, but it's even more removed, you know, because there's obviously not a ship going to be sailing by likely anytime soon.
Yeah, it's not like you can just toss a bottle into the water and be like, save me, I'm on an island somewhere here.
Yeah, with the out-of-doors being so generally hostile, I would think that, you know, you would have to go into it expecting to be unsuccessful at just about any moment. But at the same time, what else are you going to do? You might as well, right? You got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of one of the cool things about that movie, I thought, is just like, okay, I'm here. There's only, like, if I don't try, I'm definitely going to die. But now let's see how I can try. And, you know, of course it's Hollywood and whatever. I heard the book was amazing. But I love trying on that idea of how would I do in that situation. I'd like to think that I would be able to survive during a zombie apocalypse, but until you actually are facing the zombies wrapping your door, you don't really know how you're going to be, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You kind of have to have the fire for the trial.
Sure. Well, I mean, technology in general, you know, there's a lot of people that are scared by technology, or they're, you know, they think that the robots are going to take over the world or whatever. But I don't know. I tend to be a little bit more hopeful about science. I mean, there's always weird, there's always weird stuff going on. Like right now, apparently in China, they're like starting to clone, human embryos and stuff. And there's also like services I'm reading about online where you can like take DNA from your favorite pet that just died and have a clone created of them. You know, like those services are available. Like definitely science and technology can offer some pretty freaky stuff. But is technology something that scares you, or are you an embracer of technology? Do you think the robots are going to take over?
As far as the robots go, it's tough to say. I, of course, welcome our robot overlords should they show up. But I find the technology to be very positive in general. Even, you know, like anything, if you have something powerful, powerful can be dangerous if misused. Any tool is like that. And technology is kind of like the ultimate fire. It's the ultimate tool.
Sure.
For us being able to change ourselves, change our environment, change our, you know, future. So I think that those kind of questions are very important when you have very dangerous toys and tools.
Sure.
So it's good to have the conversation. I don't think that it necessarily needs to slow you down dramatically.
Sure.
But care should be exercised when playing with dangerous things. Well, I like dangerous toys, though.
Okay. This past month, I've had month and a half or so, I've had some pretty intense problems with my shoulder. And I thought I had a torn rotator cuff. It turns out it's not that. But I had, like, x-rays. I had an arthrogram. I had injections. I had MRIs. And all that stuff is so, like, if you're not insured, is so crazy expensive. But it makes me think of that book, The Young Lady's Illustrated Primer, where basically, I'm totally blanking on the guy's name.
Neal Stephenson.
Stephenson, yeah. Where in this version of the future, everyone has a machine in their house. And it's kind of like a vending machine. But everyone has one of these machines. It's kind of like everyone here at this time has a refrigerator in their kitchen. Well, everyone has one of these, like, weird machines in their house, but it's all, like, nanotech, and it just gets fed its basic chemical components, its basic general ingredients, and you basically put in, like, okay, I need a fill-in-the-blank, whatever you need, and it just makes it for you, you know? I mean, that kind of stuff could really happen, like, in our lifetime. Absolutely. And when that kind of technology gets ubiquitous, when that kind of technology is, people are competing to make a less expensive version of it and it's not controlled, you know, that means things like healthcare and prescriptions and all that, anything that people might need to be able to sort of take control of their own environment without relying on handouts or whatever, that kind of technology basically equals the playing ground. You know, the divide between the rich and the poor gets smaller and things are more fair. Like, people who are smart or have good ideas can not worry about, oh, I need to buy a couch or a whatever. Just print me one of those things I need. I need to think about XYZ solving whatever problem, which is really cool. You know,
setting the fairness aspect aside, this is something a gentleman that I knew some years ago from Vancouver, Canada, Frank Ogden. He was a author and a novelist and speaker up there, went by the moniker of Dr. Tomorrow. But he talked about as our technological wherewithal and manufacturing capabilities advance, this idea of, well, we need to, you know, manufacture everything in China because that's where the cheap labor is, goes away. All the manufacturing becomes more and more automated. And at the point that it becomes more automated, it becomes much cheaper. And either the manufacturing becomes cheaper, everything becomes cheaper, and you're not shipping it around the world. You're going to make it where you need to use it. So you basically end up with a situation where instead of things just being expensive and stuff being difficult to deal with for your life, your products become very, very inexpensive / free.
Sure.
And we end up with a system of abundance versus a system of scarcity, which is kind of what we're looking at right now.
Sure. No, it's a really exciting time. And so I guess I'm just appreciating looking back on the year and feeling excited about the advances that we've made and feeling like hopeful, you know, with all the bad news that happens all the time. I like to remind myself and hopefully others that it's a time that we can be hopeful for the future. It doesn't have to all be, you know, post-apocalyptic gloom and doom, whatever. It is now
it is about
7 o'clock.
Time. Yes, yeah, the tournament has started.
It is about that time the tournament has started, and we are now officially in late reg. I'd like to encourage anyone who isn't signed up already to sign up. I will do that as well. Bounty on me, yo-ho. Easy money.
The bounty on King of Hearts, myself, Glitch, Kiss a Pig, Lucky Ant, Spite Check.
Yes.
Yes.
Cool. Well, I will bring to a close this portion of the Fish Fry Radio show, and I will get registered, and I will see you all in the tournament. Have a happy new year, everyone.
Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Have a good night.
Yeah, it was great talking to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.